Welcome to Reclaiming the Republic. This show is sponsored by ReclaimingTheRepublic.org. I am G.R. Mobley. This is an educational grassroots program focused on uniting and leading in restoring the Republic and placing the federal government back into the scope and framework of the Constitution once again.
And welcome back. And it is Now or Never. And it's kind of part two of the, I'll just say, the year in summation and kind of what do we do? And it all has to do with you and your counties and or your parish if you live in Louisiana. And so, you know, let me just say this, that as things had slowly transpired, like when people challenged in the early 1800s whether the federal court had jurisdiction, whether they could do these things, there were lots of people out there, lawyers, bureaucrats, what have you. Oh, yeah, we can do this. We have the ability to do this. And people took their word for it. Now, because George Washington talks about the honor and the integrity of people and how, you know, they use noble intent to try to do something for the better, for the good of people. And the fact of the matter is that actually tends to destroy, because he points out, it is always with the most noble intentions that governments are destroyed, or that the people and liberties are destroyed. And so most people may have, because was there a conspiracy? Maybe in some way, some people were involved. Now, with the allegation that Alexander Hamilton was a spy in our government, which it completely explains what he did, then he may have been, you know, aware of what he was doing was going to cause problems. But I don't think he understood the magnitude and the direction of those problems. I don't think he understood how dark of a power, how evil that this conspiracy really was. I think that he was more of a fool. He was a very literate man. As a matter of fact, Washington regarded the two most literate men in Washington's mind was James Madison and then Alexander Hamilton. And Alexander Hamilton was a man that he trusted with his life. And so because he was his aide, the general's aide through a good part of the Revolutionary War. Anyway. So when I look at everything that went down as these encroachments went unchallenged, or the challenges were refuted that, yes, we have the power, because they start as soon as the courts and our legal system injected case law and precedents, then this is where we literally started going down the wrong path. Remember, common law was not injected, and as a matter of fact, contract law was, the Constitution was enveloped in contract law, not common law. Even though contract law is a common law, it is not the common law that is susceptible to, you know, the change and redirection of case law precedents and so forth. It's either in the contract or it's not. It's really cut and dry. So when the challenges came and they said, oh, yeah, you know, based on, you know, what John Marshall said in this case of the federal government having this, they used opinions of lawyers and judges to persuade people. Yeah, I mean, who's smarter than these men? And that right there is where they started poking holes, or I should say, that's where they started taking advantage and encroaching more and more and more. So as it went along, everybody, well, that's what they do. That's how things work. That's how we do it. And they started aggrandizing more and more. I mean, folks, had the people maintained vigilance as they were supposed to, had the state legislatures actually did their job instead of allowing the federal government to backdoor them by giving them money to do so, I don't think we would have been down this path at all. There's no way we would have been down this path. But most people didn't see the threat from within. And it took so long that we got to this point where we're at critical mass. Now we realize things have gone horribly, horribly wrong. So what do we do? Well, we actually have the greatest weapon given to us, and it's not a military weapon at all. It is the law. It is the Constitution. We have baked within this Constitution, as I was basically stating yesterday, we have the key three dots that when you connect them, they become the can of whoop-ass that's necessary in holding our public servants accountable. It starts with their legally binding oath of office. This is why many people are trying not to take their oaths of office and thinking, oh, well, we don't have to. That in itself is a violation of the law. If a person serves in office and has not taken an oath of office by a certain point in time, then they are no longer able to be in office. They are required to take that oath within a certain period of time before before they can go too much further. So as we see the power of the oath holding them, binding them to actually support the Constitution, their job is not to support you. Their job is not to support the voters. Their job is to support you via the Constitution to ensure that you're upholding the law and protecting you and all things and people. Businesses need to be protected by the law, not by agendas, not by what is good for these folks over here. We want to help these folks, so we're going to allow this to happen. This is how we've gotten so corrupt. So as we peel back this onion, we can see that the oath and the First Amendment petition and then Section 3, as I got into this at the end of the show yesterday, Section 3 of the 14th Amendment, in tandem with our petitions, is how we hold them accountable. We call them out and say, the supreme law of the land demands nothing less than you be removed if you fail to support the Constitution. You can claim ignorance up until this point, and this is where I tell folks, you got to give them a first and final. Some people that absolutely knew, in other words, they didn't challenge, they didn't even question, like Nancy Pelosi, there's no doubt in my mind that she's gone well beyond that point of, you know, can we do this or not? She's the one that's actually up there, of course we can do this. We control all of this power. No, they don't. We the people control the power by the rule of law, by using petitions, and by removing them and banning them for life. So when you have a county commissioner that, you know, is actually being honest, can we do this or can we even do this? Like in the states, when the states gave emergency powers to their governor that were actually violations of the Constitution, anybody that said, hey, I don't think we should be able to do this, we shouldn't do this, those people, I think, they definitely get that grace of a first and final. Those people who you first call out and say you have violated the law, if they don't quickly say, you know what, I didn't even realize this, then, and they challenge, they fight back. All of these people that fight back and say, no, we do this because this is what we're supposed to do. This is how the system works now. Then those people right there do not deserve a first and final. Those people have actually played their hand, and as far as I'm concerned, these are the people that must go immediately. And so how do we do that? Well, We actually have to prove, and this is the whole point of the petitions itself. These petitions, if you only keep it in the quorum of, you know, the county commissioner meeting or what have you, then, and it's only your petition, then it only carries the weight of you. But if you make your petitions to become the petitions of the nation, the petitions of the county, the commission, the petition, let's start off the proper way. Let's start with a little snowflake and turn it into an avalanche. It starts with you. It starts with your neighbors, your family. It starts with a few people. It starts with your community. And then it grows into the neighboring communities. It grows into the town. It grows into the preponderance of the county. When you hit a critical mass where enough people now know the shenanigans of our elected servants and how they are violating the law, not just one law, all of the laws. This is why what has to happen, and this is why we've been working feverishly in trying to create a body of petitions along with maintaining this show and educating you and helping people get moving. This is why we need to grow this petition militia. The more petitions we get, and thank God for those folks who are actually starting to work on petitions. We've got a petition on chemtrails. Folks, if you don't think that we're being sprayed and they're trying to kill us, I know it is the hardest thing for people to fathom. Why would somebody want to kill people like this? They believe there's too many people. They've already stated this. The Georgia Guidestones came right out. Their theory of the perfect population for this world is 500 million people. Well, folks, the United States is almost 500 million people. That means that everybody else has to go, but that's not how it's going to be. And as a matter of fact, if you didn't know, the land that is the most desirous of all other lands is the United States. It is the breadbasket. It is the beacon. It's not just the beacon of liberty. It is the beacon for the world because of its potential. There are so many things that I would love to just put on the table for you at this point in time, but let's focus. We have to hold our public servants accountable, and we are being attacked. They're waging warfare tactics. I'm not even mealy-mouthing this. When I say warfare tactics, I mean economic warfare. When I say warfare tactics, I mean psyops, cyber warfare. They're spying on you. They're collecting data on you. They perceive you and we, the people, as the enemy. They want to monitor all. And folks, they don't have the authority to be doing any of this. So what do we do? They want to monitor you with facial recognition cameras. They are doing that. They're implementing all of this technology. Big Brother is at our door. It's already out in your community. If you don't believe me, go to my Take Action page and go on to the link, you know, of banning, you know, facial recognition technology. And it saddens me to know that there's subject matter experts out there on this particular thing, and they're not willing to give us a petition, a simple petition that says this is a direct violation of our Fourth Amendment rights. Folks, why? Why are we dealing with patriots that claim to be patriots, and yet they won't lift a finger to unite, bringing their expertise to the table and giving us a weapon to stop doing what they're wanting, what they're trying to stop? Why is it that these organizations are locked in horns in the legal system? Why do they believe that our legal system will actually prove anything or do anything? This is why we need to get into, you know, what the processes are, and we've already kind of covered this. I don't want to go backwards. I want to go forward. So what we have to do is we actually have to start demanding. So this is really where we need to go now. We need to demand that the full extent of the law, the Constitution, be enforced. We have to demand that our public servants, when they're not willing to support the Constitution, step down immediately. We can no longer, when we call them out, we need to actually demand that they reinstitute common law grand juries and quickly convene a common law grand jury to hold basically investigations on every public servant and determine if they have violated their oath of office. All we need is an indictment that they did, a declaration that they did. There's no due process, folks. Read Section 3 of the 14th Amendment. This is not an issue where you're going to lose your life, liberty, or be punished in any way. You're not going to be incarcerated. You are removed and banned from office from being, you're losing your eligibility. So in other words, due process does not apply. You don't have a right to due process if we've declared that you have violated your oath and a common law grand jury has indicted you for doing such, then you're gone. We need our public servants to actually start campaigning and saying we need to make it easier to remove any and every politician who fails to fulfill their oath of office in supporting this Constitution. Because I'm telling you, AOC, Elon, all of these communists that are in public service would be gone in a heartbeat. They could not withstand because they refuse to support the Constitution. They actually want, they're trying to destroy the Constitution. They are the enemies. And when you read Section 3, the irony of the fact that they have tried to use Section 3 against Trump. In Colorado, I mean, this is not about the popular news of the time, but what Colorado has done is actually misconstructed Section 3 of the 14th Amendment. The President of the United States and the Vice President of the United States are not included in that public service. No senator, representative, judge, or any public servant, period, can be in office if they violate their oath. The president and the vice president will stand impeachment. That process still stands. What Section 3 did was it removed the ability of impeachment. The only way a person can be impeached today, if you violate your oath, you don't get impeached, you're just no longer in there. The only reason we have impeachment is for bad behavior, for other things. Just because somebody gets drunk all the time doesn't mean that they're violating their oath of office. They're just drunk. Their behavior is reprehensible. And so they can be impeached based on other personal behavior, and that's why the impeachment process still is relevant, but it is not relevant to the oath of office anymore. Section 3 of the 14th Amendment, being the supreme law of the land, has clarified that you lose eligibility to serve for the remainder of your life if you refuse to support the Constitution, if you fail to support the Constitution when called, when it is at your feet, when you have the ability to do something. So the question is, what do your county commissioners do? How are they involved in something that's happening at the federal level? Ah, this is where it comes down. They are our representatives and they are our first line of defense. It shouldn't be put upon us, the people, to have to go to Congress to petition them. All we should have to do is petition our representatives to say, look, these folks at the federal level are violating their oath, and you need to tell these folks at the state level that they better start holding them accountable or we're coming for them. And if you don't do this, we're coming for you first. This is why you need to look at these petitions. Look at petition 9. We're going to be fixing all of our petitions on the website. We're going to be putting up petition 10 soon. We've already got the works of a few others going on. We need your help. I myself got my hands full in trying to do as much as I possibly can, but I can't write all these petitions. We need everybody's help. As many people, folks, the more petitions that we obtain going into this election year, we need to get 3 petitions. If you're involved in an election integrity matter in your state, you need to get involved in what we're doing, because there are 3 petitions that we're trying to do. One is to actually acknowledge and sever our current election system because of the federal involvement. Nowhere in the Constitution does the federal government have the ability to dictate, control, and guide our elections. The only thing that they can do is choose the day, time, and the manner. When I say the manner, not every aspect and regulate it. The manner being, it'll be by voice, it'll be by ballot, or what have you. And in all honesty, that is the first responsibility of the state legislature, that the federal government has never over, well, they have been, they haven't done it with actual law, but they have been involved in creating and presenting this dominion system so that they could actually control the outcome of our elections. I mean, you hear all these people going around talking about it, and they've got these solutions, but I'm telling you, they don't. Not one solution. Look how close we are to the 2024 election. We're just a few days away from 2024. And I'm sorry, I've reached out to Dr. Frank. I have reached out to Mike Lindell. And instead of actually working with them, they decided to stay in their little bubbles and say, well, we've got this figured out, because people are coming to pay and see us. And folks, how close are we to implementing that solution? They don't even have a solution, because they're fighting this at the wrong level. You need to demand that your county commissioners actually start tearing your state house apart, that their state house actually exercise their constitutional authority, that your state legislatures stand up and say the federal government has no say on the systems that we use. And because they have been intricately involved in the systems that we've been using, we will sever our use of all of these systems that they have presented and have been giving us, and we will go back to paper and in-person precincts this year until we develop our own system. That's what we have to do. And so we need to get these petitions done to do that. But you need to understand why the counties are so integral in this. They are your first line of defense. In a Republican form of government, the power, remember I told you yesterday that the power resides with we the people. The political energy resides with us, which means in your county, you should have more political energy than what's going on in D.C. That's where the corruption is occurring, because they've assumed power they don't have. All we have to do is take that power back. Republic review is that ultimate process. But how do we get to republic review? How do we undo all of this? It has to start with our counties. We have to get our states. And so this is why I invite you. And what I'll do when we come back is I'm going to go through, and I'll probably find that there'll be some editing errors, but I'm going to go through the stipulations at the back end of these petitions that we have in our medical petition. This is what needs to be in the back end of every petition. We need to demand that your county commissioners actually go down this path of endorsing each of these petitions and demanding other counties. Well, we'll go through all of this, but this is how we create a catalyst with a single petition, because we not only just say you have to answer this, you have to become the advocate and the salesperson and the champion of the Constitution. That's why we elected you as our representative. And if you're not adult enough to do your job, we'll replace you. We'll be right back after this.
The reason progressives are effective in instituting their policies is because they are united ideologically, financially, and socially. In addition, almost every billionaire in the world is funding a vast array of different groups, and these groups' efforts are to undermine our republic and our Constitution. If you don't believe me, just Google donors to the Open Society Foundations. The only way we're going to successfully combat these efforts and take back our liberties, like our education system, health care, state lands, housing, labor, and many other roles, responsibilities, and powers that belong to the states is by you and I and local businesses getting involved in supporting political programs and efforts based on constitutional principles. The best way to do this is supporting result-oriented organizations designed to take back our lost liberties. The ultimate result-oriented effort is Republic Review, so please consider contributing to the show and the organizations and activities that we are supporting by going to reclaimingtherepublic.org and go to the contributions page, and you can become a listed supporter of liberty. Friends, if you have any questions or comments, we have our 24-hour comment line at 425-270-5416.
Okay, so what I'm going to do now is I'm going to read Petition 9. Folks, and this is the medical freedom petition. So there are a lot of groups out there that are advocates for medical freedom, but they never did give us a petition. Now, we've asked, and we haven't had really any serious entertaining because most all of these groups are self-contained and they're not open to working with others. We got to stop this. We're going to actually, on my new page, I'm going to have uniters and a dividers page. Those who are uniting, those who are bringing forward their subject matter expertise in assisting with these different petitions so that we can all collaborate, they will be on the uniters page. Those who refuse to work with us at all will be on the dividers page. We're going to make this very painfully clear. I sadly have to say that there are going to be lots of leaders, lots of beloved people that are going to have ire and hate. And they're going to actually, you know, they're going to hate me because I'm calling them out. Nobody likes to be held accountable, like your public servants. Many of your public servants don't want, they're not public servants. They're dukes and duchesses. They're royalty. As long as they're in office, they have the power. And so why would they consider themselves your servant? So anyway, what I'm going to do is I'm going to start off with the very back end of this, and this may trickle into tomorrow's show. If that's the case, then I'm going to have a condensed Friday show, which will basically kind of cover what we need to do in setting effective goals. I'll have to contain that into one. Usually it takes me 2 days to go through. But anyway, this is the final whereas. You'll find this on page 33. Whereas the evidence provided is refutable. The evidence provided in this petition is refutable that the federal government violated the Constitution for the United States. Furthermore, with the assistance of affluent global influencers such as William Gates III and other U.S. citizens, along with many other global affluent individuals who also directly contributed funding to the World Health Organization to buy both influence and control, the federal government and the aforementioned affluent citizens deliberately guided and directed policies of these unconstitutional departments, agencies, offices, and bureaucracies of the United States government, as well as foreign governments, through direct ties and contributions to global governments, such as the United Nations and its subordinate agencies, such as the World Health Organization. Again, these ties in reference B, and reference B is a reference to a different petition. We have reference A, B, and C in this. And so we kind of bring up these different references every once in a while. And reference B had everything to do with the fact that the federal government does not have the authority to create a treaty to subjugate us to foreign law. So in other words, again, these ties in reference B have been proven unconstitutional. Therefore, the direction, contact and relation of U.S. citizens with foreign governments is a direct violation of the Logan Act and supporting party factions, no government organizations, and other individuals and entities in the United States, and is tantamount to conducting political insurgencies against the Constitution by directly and indirectly supporting breaches to the Constitution as referenced in this petition. The action of all the public servants still alive and all the other citizens who successfully supported, influenced, pushed, and authored laws, policies, guidelines, research, etc., in violation of the Constitution for the United States by supporting this insurrection of this Constitution, must immediately be removed from office in accordance with Section 3 of the 14th Amendment if they are still in office, and all public servants in or out of office and United States citizens must be prosecuted to the full extent of the law to answer for their crimes and resulting deaths, injuries for their direct and indirect actions that violated the Constitution. Now we get into the now therefores and the expectations. Now therefore, in conformity to the three presidential vetoes regarding Congress's assuming roles, responsibilities, powers to build, maintain, and improve highways, which was reference A. I should have just added reference A, but we just wanted to get to the point on this. Or improve roads, waterways, airways, or any other mode of travel is not an RRP within the granted RRPs in the Constitution for the United States. And the Department of Transportation is directly and palpably a violation to the Constitution with which only the states are parties to, and this RRPP must be disbanded and dissolved by the parties via the process of republic review that will be initiated by the subsequent state legislation and now therefore, in accordance with James Madison's assertion and the fundamental tenets of contract law, that compacts can be audited by the parties to the compact and in accordance with Article 4, Section 4 of the Constitution for the United States, that the states are guaranteed a republican form of government, and that a republican form of government is based on the rule of law. No government can make a law abridging, quote, abridging the right of the people to petition government for the redress of grievances. Consequently, our elected county supervisors, who serve we the people as our direct representatives, in addition to our legislatures, who, in accordance with Article 4, Section 3 of the Constitution, or actually Article 6, Section 3 of the Constitution for the United States, must also take an oath prior to their service to support the Constitution as well as the state of, and this is focused on Virginia and Loudoun County, because the author resides of a gentleman by the name of Woody, goes by Woody. He was the author of this, and I assisted him in this petition. And so we, the people of Loudoun County, exert our inalienable and constitutional protected civil right of petitioning our government for the redress of grievances as found in the First Amendment of the Constitution for the United States. We therefore demand the Board of Supervisors of Loudoun County do the following to fulfill their oath of office to support the Constitution for the United States. So if your county commissioners or supervisors say, well, we don't have to do this, then they're violating their oath because these things are easily within the realm of doing. What does it take to actually endorse a petition? Nothing. And if they refuse to endorse the petition, they're just sidestepping their responsibility of saying, we demand that the Constitution be supported. Because that's really what they have to do here. First, the county supervisors of Loudoun County form a standing committee to initiate specific directed efforts to audit and definitize precisely the Constitution for the United States and its legally provided terms and definitions in according to the founding documents of the Constitution. In other words, the ratification debates of the federal Constitution, where these terms and definitions were provided to, one, stipulate and clarify that the general government possesses no enumerated authority to create, keep, and maintain an annotated constitution to use as they choose to interpret and enforce the constitution when they are not parties to the compact, and two, determine what RRPPs are granted within the Constitution of the United States and identify all RRPPs currently exercised or possessed by the federal government that are not delegated within the enumerated RRPs of the Constitution for the United States. It is incumbent upon those who stand in public service to govern we the people with a republican form of government to know without question what is constitutional and what is not. Second, concurrently, while forming a standing committee, the supervisors of Loudoun County must promulgate this petition with an endorsement cover letter calling upon all counties within the state of Virginia to join Loudoun County, so insert your state there and your county, in coordinating a simultaneous effort with Loudoun County and all other counties. One, the audit that all counties must acquiesce upon the definitized constitution as legally and academically stipulated during the federal ratification debates to precisely clarify all unconstitutional RRPPs as to their oath of office demands. Two, fully report concurrence or refusal to this constitutional requirement with clear documentation of each public servant as to their position requiring the regarding their requirement to support the Constitution and taking immediate action to obtain full clarity as to what is constitutional and what is not through the audit and definitizing efforts or refusal to support these efforts. Third, so there's a total of eight, by the way. Third, the supervisors of Loudoun County promulgate this petition with an endorsement cover letter to the state legislature of Virginia for them to form a permanent constitutional compliance committee to acquiesce upon the legal necessity to begin coordinating with Loudoun County and actually I need to include all at Loudoun County and all the counties within the state, all items of the audit that they are approved and are to be shared with sister counties who will then, as the representatives of the people of the counties of the state of Virginia, petition the legislature of the state of Virginia for and on the behalf of the citizens of their county. Fourth, the Virginia State Legislature will pass the following legislation to fulfill their oath of office in one, quote, supporting the Constitution, close quote, and two, demanding all public servants and governments and non-government entities be in full compliance to this Constitution, thus, and then we go through what we call the Federal Review Bill. Now, this bill is going to be probably a couple pages, so I'm not going to read the bill, but what this bill does is it forms a permanent committee at the state level to actually go through anything and everything that the federal government has done to determine whether they can constitutionally do it or not. Like, can the court make law? No. Can the president make law? No. Then anything that the court has done will be identified as that has, you know, become law will be identified as unconstitutional law. All we're doing, folks, we're not nullifying anything. I want to be clear here. We're earmarking everything that's got to go. And then if you're familiar with Republic Review, as we've kind of talked about this, Republic Review is the administration of the states stepping in and directing the federal government to cease and desist in this, 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 and this. And if anyone in Congress fails to comply, they will be charged and removed from office for committing a crime, committing a felony, and a violation of their oath of office. And therefore, they will actually extradite that person back for committing treason against their state constitution and committing a felony and violating their oath and will be replaced. So, folks, I want you to understand this. You can't be a Democrat or Republican anymore. You have to be a supporter of the Constitution. It doesn't matter what party you're in. Either you're a supporter of the Constitution or you're not. this goes back to what I've been saying for years. It's not about the party. Quit thinking in context of the party. Think in context of the Constitution. Either it's constitutional or it's not. If it's not constitutional, it's a violation. We got to get rid of it. If it's something that we need, then once we get rid of it, we say, you know what, we really need that, then okay, we'll amend the Constitution in some way, fashion, or form. In other words, we don't have to give the federal government the power to do this. We can actually go well above and beyond, and we can create the system that was designed for us to create. Because the system that was created, this federal government, was to be external only. This is what Madison clearly stated, that they were to be focused on external matters, fighting war and dealing with our foreign trade, and keeping and protecting the sovereignty of the Union, the sovereignty of the states, and the sovereignty of the people, as well as our liberties appertaining to them. So, as we kind of go forward, we can talk about what and how to do this. This is real. As soon as I start talking about these paths forward, instantly the lights just come on and people will go, yeah, that makes sense. But let's focus on cleaning up first before we actually start solving all of the problems, because sometimes we have to actually get to the point where we can solve the problems. So let's focus on that first. The fifth stipulation for your county commissioners or supervisors. Concurrently, while the Virginia State Legislature is forming a standing committee and initiating the audit of the Constitution for the United States, and in addition to definitizing the Constitution and its terms and definitions as stipulated in the ratification debates, the State Legislature of Virginia must promulgate this petition with an endorsement cover letter to all other states in the Union, calling upon all states to unite with Virginia in taking all necessary measures to obtain full compliance to the supreme law of the land, the Constitution for the United States, as it was legally stipulated and defined in the ratification debates, in accordance with the Constitution and the fundamental tenets of contract law. Sixth, all public servants, while under their legal oath of office or falsely serving in office, are to be removed from office in accordance to Section 3 of the 14th Amendment, are no longer eligible to be in office for violating their obligation to the support of the Constitution of the United States. Public servants are neither afforded an impeachment process nor due process. Since this is the enforcement of constitutional eligibility as defined in Congress while the 14th Amendment was being debated for passage. In other words, as they went through the process of debating the 14th Amendment, it was clearly stipulated by Howard that they're committing perjury and they can't be in office if they perjure themselves. It's that simple. That's why it actually stood, the language stood the way it did. Seventh, we the people demand that our county supervisors and state legislatures create a Virginia state law to observe and comply with the enforcement of Section 3 of the 14th Amendment, empowering the people to be able to initiate the enforcement of this law, that when we the people report public servants who have violated their oath by failing to support the Constitution, they are immediately suspended, and that a common law grand jury of the people of the state, in other words, I want you to understand, this common law grand jury of the people of the state, it will contain one person, at the minimum, one person from each county, and that will be chosen by the people of the county to go represent them in that common law grand jury. So in other words, you know, you're going to create this standing common law grand jury that will actually form and that will actually be working in holding every single public servant within that state and representing that state, either in the Senate or in the House of Representatives in Congress, accountable to their oath of office, as well as even judges, federal judges, county judges, state judges, everybody will be then held accountable. Folks, That right there is the biggest and most important thing that we have to get our arms around. We cannot allow people not to be held accountable, especially in public service. I mean, people get away with breaking the law all the time, but when it's in public service, it has a rippling effect that affects all of us. It's one thing if somebody chooses to let somebody who's harmed them to forgive them and let them go. That's their choice. But our public servants must be held that no one in public service is above the law, that they all must be equally held accountable to that legal oath that they have sworn to take, that no more do we rely upon the integrity or the honor of the individual. Seventh, we the people demand that our county, that's where suspended, and that a common law grand jury of the people, this is where I left off, of the state be formed with at least one juror from each county to determine whether the office of whether the oath of office was violated or not. If violated, the public servant is removed and banned from public service, and the public servant's name and fingerprints be promulgated to all states in the union to ensure that they can no longer hold an office of public trust or profit unless 2/3 of both houses of Congress, this is the law that requires two-thirds of both houses of Congress to remove this disability. So in other words, if they leave your state, they can't go to another state to become a public servant. This is why it has to be promulgated so that they can never, ever again be in an office of trust. This is critical. That's what the law demands. Imagine this, folks. We have all of this at our fingertips. How divine is this? Who would have thought of this? Not me. I'm telling you, this all points to the DNA or the source of this Constitution. Truly, his DNA is evident in this. And then eight, this is the final. We demand the full and transparent documentation in accounting the actions of all public servants regarding what they do and do not in response to each step of this petition, both in hard and soft copy provided back to the original petitioners, the organizations, and this needs to become a public record. I'm adding to this because that's kind of where it ends. Organizational name and address, as well as POC name and phone number. But as far as I'm concerned, what we also need to do is this needs to become a public record. We need to actually start seeing, you know, how everything plays out, kind of like a score sheet or like the statistics of baseball. You know, how many at bats, you know, how many hits, how many swings, how many strikes. Yeah, all of the types of details of statistics that they've gotten into with baseball, we need to say the same thing, the same statistics of whether a person balked, whether they immediately got on board or whether they had to think about it. We want to know are they hesitating at the plate? Are they swinging away and they're doing their job? Or are they leaning into it to try to get hit so that they can get on base by getting, you know, hit by pitch? Whatever. We need full disclosure and we need to gather all of the statistics on all of this. And I can't emphasize this enough. So with that, now that we have these petitions and we have this back end of all of these petitions that we demand that not only the county, you know, get behind this, but they actually create a committee to start demanding constitutional compliance, a constitutional compliance committee, and that they promulgate this petition out to every other county in the state, and that they basically tell every other county in the state that they need to do the same thing. That we're doing this and we want you to kind of work with us and our committee. This committee does not have to be a money-making committee. In other words, it doesn't have to be a job. All they have to do is provide a Zoom number and allow the people to be voted into and so forth. So here's the thing. I've got basically just less than 4 minutes left, 3.5 minutes left. And so I'll kind of wrap this up, and we're going to have to go into tomorrow how do we do this? How do we execute this county plan? Well, I'm telling you, folks, it'll be a lot easier when we go through this. It's a lot easier if you can actually make a party structure like your Republican Party a constitutional compliance party and actually ignore, you know, the platform. And what I mean the platform, I mean the platitudes that the platform is and the platitudes that it creates, or, you know, the good, you know, the things that make you feel good. Who cares? We demand compliance of the Constitution. If abortion is not enumerated in your Constitution, can't do it. Government can't even be involved in it. And folks, there's very few states in the United States that have that. If your state has an abortion amendment, then you need to work this out by going into a constitutional convention and ripping apart your state constitution. We'll talk about all of these things, of how to address these things at the county level tomorrow, which means that I'm going to have to do a condensed, you know, how do we set effective goals for Friday? But I'm up to it if you are. So let me kind of close on this, because as we look at the big picture, we the people have to institute our governments. This is why we actually have to, this Constitutional Compliance Committee that's formed at the county, another little thing that needs to be done that we have to inject into this is we have to demand, once we finally get constitutional supporters at the state, at the county level, then that county committee should actually start working and preparing the county to prepare to have a county constitutional convention. And so how do you do that? Well, you would basically elect a delegate, not out of all of your precincts. You'd basically, you know, elect, let's say you have districts and your districts are kind of even, but you would basically go down to how many people that would appropriately fit, excuse me, into the largest venue that the county can actually rent to actually create this convention. Now, when we talk, the people that will be serving in this, they're not, this is not a job. This is not an elected position, no benefits or anything like that. But you will be compensated for your travel and a little compensation for your time. In other words, we're not talking about jury duty, but it should be a minimum wage thing, you know, and it may be an insult to most people, but, you know, at least you're being compensated to do the right thing instead of, you know, because we all should have and feel the compulsion to do what we're supposed to do. And when I say compulsion, the Constitution demands its support. Every state in the union demands that if you are a citizen in this nation, you must be willing and be, if necessary, compelled to support this Constitution and defend it against enemies, foreign and domestic. And so what better than galvanizing a county constitution in determining what powers your county is to have? Finally instituting your local government. And in so doing, as we prepare each county in the state, the counties will then be prepared to take apart and peel back all the powers delegated in that state government that are not necessary and only give them the necessary powers. That, folks, is how we do it. I'm G.R. Mobley with Reclaiming the Republic, and we need your help.
Reclaiming the Republic is more than an educational radio show. My intent is to also work with you and local leadership to promote matters of the Constitution and self-governance. This way we can all promote constitutional awareness within our communities and with our elected officials and public leaders. If you love liberty and sovereignty and recognize the federal tyranny that is threatening our lives, then we are asking for your help. And here are a few ways you can help. Spread the word about this radio show, Reclaiming the Republic. It is the only radio show in in the world asserting a constitutional solution to federal overreach. Download and share our podcast and content. Read, like, follow, and share our Moby Strip Press and Reclaiming the Republic pages on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter at Mobius Strip News. Get informed about local groups in the area and get involved. Most importantly, become a constitutional warrior with your local leaders and demand that they begin applying constitutional tests to what they are doing and who they are supporting. Thank you.